Everyone, thank you for joining us on the first PAC meeting of the 2013 year. I'd like to welcome everybody here, and since we do have a quorum and we have a couple of nice agenda items, what I'd like to do is just move ahead. So I would ask you, I know you've all taken a look at the minutes, and so I would ask you for a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
It's been moved by Hedges and seconded by the second loudest person. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions. Awesome. Thank you. Our first subcommittee report, our only subcommittee report, is from Naomi on the Equity and Access Subcommittee. Naomi?
Thank you. The Equity and Access Subcommittee met earlier today, and we had a presentation on the draft Coordinated Public Transit Human Services Transportation Update, or the plan, I should say. So the Coordinated Plan, as we like to call it for short, is now available on the MTC website and will be available for public review until March 8th. The plan includes sections on gaps, solutions, and regional strategies. And a few highlights we heard from the presentation today was about the wave of seniors, which we've been being told is coming, and it is now here. There's a focus on mobility management solutions and strategies. There's also interest in alternatives to ADA transportation, improvements to fixed route transportation, and improvements to pedestrian issues that will allow people access to fixed route transportation. So those were some of the highlights we heard, but I hope that people will take a look at the draft plan and provide comments if they're interested. The subcommittee will be looking at the plan and formulating our own comments at the next meeting in February, and may bring a recommendation to this council about our comments to the plan at that time. The last thing I wanted to let you know is that the Equity and Access Committee subcommittee is now going to be a web agenda. So if you are wondering what we're going to be doing on a given month, if you want to come early and listen in, you'll be able to look at that on the MTC website. That's all I have. Does anybody from the subcommittee have anything to add? Okay, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Randy?
That was just a really scary number to see that we were going to go from 800,000 people age 65 and over to over 2 million in the next,
I think it was by 2050?
2040. So, yeah. So that was kind of frightening.
Yeah.
Well, and that'll be interesting in terms of the economic effect as people age and become eligible for not needing to pay library, local taxes, et cetera, some on these tax measures and bond measures. It'll be interesting to see how many people take advantage of that. So that's a long-term revenue item I think we and other governmental institutions should probably be considering. All right, but other than that, I actually skip this almost every other time, but because there's no cards up here, but are there any public comment cards that have yet to come up here for item 3, comments not made about our agenda items? Nope. Okay. Then let us go right into item 5, please, the regional priority update, the planning program update. Thank you.
Good afternoon, advisors. I'm Therese Trevetti with MTC's planning section, and I'm here today to talk about the regional Priority Development Area Planning Program, the PDA Planning Program, and give you an update on that. And essentially, I'm going to just walk through the materials that are included in your packet, and there's three main topics that I'll be covering. One will be an overview of the Regional Planning Program components, of which there are three: the PDA Planning Program itself, the Smart Growth Technical Assistance Program, and the Transit-Oriented Affordable Housing, or the TOA Fund. From there, I will be talking about an action that the Commission made in November that has changed some of the funding distribution from MTC to the county-level CMAs. And then the next steps involve a decision on how to distribute the remaining funding for the regional program. That will be a decision made by the Commission in February, so we'll be looking for your input on that, and that will that will be that part of the discussion. So jumping right in, I guess I will start with the PDA planning program. And I'm just wondering, with a show of hands, how many at the table are aware of the PDA planning program? You may have known it as the station area planning program, but just to get a sense, okay, so a fair number of you. So what this program is it actually was launched in 2005, and the intent behind it is to really look at land uses in and around transit stations and transit corridors around the region, and looking at intensifying the land uses around those station areas and corridors so that transit ridership is supported. And the program, since 2005, has really now encompassed planning in priority development areas, or our PDAs, throughout the region, and this is definitely an implementation tool as we go forward with Plan Bay Area. Jurisdictions were eligible for up to $750,000 in planning assistance, which typically funded specific plans and programmatic environmental impact reports. The specific plan is a very comprehensive planning effort, and I'll go into my next slide shows what the planning elements are that the regional agencies supported. But the whole emphasis of the program...
I'm sorry, just to push this.
Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. One of the main the emphasis of the program is really on implementation. I mean, it's great to have a plan, but we really want to focus on implementation. So the programmatic EIR really helps along those lines, because when a project comes in, once the plan is completed, if there's a programmatic EIR in place, some of the processing time is cut down, and the projects can actually tier off of what is included in that programmatic EIR as long as it's consistent. So that's really important. And the other thing to ensure implementation is that we really look to the jurisdictions to adopt any general plan or zoning amendments that would be supportive of the specific plans that they are in the process of completing. So we look for that at the end of the program. And these typically are, the plans themselves look out over a long period of time, usually 20 years or so. So it is a real opportunity for the local community to have a discussion about the vision that they'd like to see for their community in the future. And the planning process is not short-term. It's usually about a 2.5-year process to complete the plan. And through this process, both MTC and ABAG are participating with the cities. MTC is joined by five regional planners at ABAG, who are day-to-day project managers along with the cities in seeing these plans through. And we're definitely actively participating in the plans as they go along. As I mentioned, we have a number of planning elements that are included in the process, or that we, when a community is taking on the full-scale planning effort, these are the planning elements that we want to see as a result. So I won't go into detail in these, but just to touch on a few of them, I mean, we certainly are looking for a significant community involvement strategy. Oftentimes, the jurisdictions will hire a consultant team to help them with this planning process. So that is definitely one of the key aspects that we're looking for, is that community involvement strategy. And as I mentioned, it's really an opportunity for the community to look at how they view their community in the future. And so there's land use alternatives that are explored through the process, also looking at market conditions to make sure things are within the realm of possibility. Clearly, housing is a big component of these planning processes, looking at affordable housing strategies as well as not displacing those that are already there. So that's another component. And we're looking to really create complete communities that are walkable, bikeable, so that involves looking at multimodal access and connectivity as well as pedestrian-friendly design guidelines and standards. Accessible design is also a key piece. This involves paths of travel to and from all of the activities within the planning area to transit as well as the housing itself. So that is another component that we look to be explored. Parking is always a big issue in any planning process, so that certainly is something that is looked at in detail. In addition, looking at what other infrastructure needs might be required to for the build-out of the plan. So looking at what those needs might be along with the budget and the price tag to go along with that. And then finally, just how is the city planning on implementing the plan and coming up with a financing strategy to go along with that? And what other city departments would be, you know, required to participate and make it all happen? So in your packet, you have a more complete list of all of the projects that we have funded since 2005. There's a total of 52 plans awarded, totaling just up close to $19 million. And this has resulted so far, there are a number of them that are still underway, but currently there's over 44,000 housing units that have been zoned for 60,000 new jobs and over 24 million square feet of commercial development. And I will note that while oftentimes we do fund the complete specific plan with a programmatic EIR, we do fund partial plans. Some communities have already done components of the planning process, so we supplement as needed depending on what the cities need. Now, I apologize. I've added a few slides that I did not have available when I had the packet go out, and I will describe these as we go through. But the reason I've added these, I thought these are visual slides to show you kind of what the vision, how the vision is realized, or what the community's, how the plan will look, or what the idea of what the plan will look in the future. So these photos are from San Leandro. This is one of the first projects that was funded back in 2005 as a pilot. This is their downtown TOD plan. And this is a picture of San Leandro Boulevard as it was probably a couple of years ago. It probably looks very similar today. The BART tracks are shown there on the left, as well as an AC transit bus. And you see a wide expanse of road and a parking lot. So maybe, these plans are not something that are going to be realized overnight. It's a process over time. So in this slide, we see that there is a development that has occurred on one corner of the intersection. Then maybe a little bit down the road, once that development is up and running, then which, of course, is right across from the BART station and the bus lines, then additional housing units are going in, as well as other amenities, street trees, widened sidewalks, crosswalks that are very visible. And then finally, at the end of the day, again, more amenities. You can see on the opposite side of the BART tracks, there's another building over there. And you can see cyclists. So this is kind of the full picture of what we want to see as a walkable, bikeable, sort of complete community. And I will note that, not all PDAs are alike, and that the scale of design is really for that jurisdiction. And the community really helps to shape that as we go forward. I mean, you don't see, 50-story buildings here. It's really the scale of what this community has envisioned. So moving on to our Smart Growth Technical Assistance Program, this program actually was a result of our experience with the PDA planning program, and this is a much smaller scale program, and the main intent here is to really address some of the sticking points that came up through that larger scale planning process. So we're looking at types of projects that are going to really help advance implementation of the plan or infill development. And so it's a much smaller scale project. Up to $60,000 is available in consultant assistance that goes directly to jurisdictions. And this is kind of a benefit to cities in a couple of ways. One is that they don't have to provide any match, any of their own money to the project, which they do for the PDA planning program. And also they don't have to go through any of the contracting, issuing an RFP, or any of that administrative side. MTC has a team, has four teams of consultants on call that we assign out to the projects. And again, the consultant team works directly with the city once the projects are awarded. And there's a whole host of eligible types of projects, but I would say that in the four cycles of funding that we've had through this program, the most frequent applications we've received are for parking and for development feasibility. In fact, the images here are taken from the Berkeley development feasibility project that was awarded in the first cycle, and that's really just looking at what scale of development is going to work the best for the parcels that are are opportunity sites within that their planning area. So of the four cycles we've had, we've awarded 16 projects to 13 jurisdictions, over $784,000 over the 3 years. And here's a more complete picture of all the projects. You can see we've awarded in just about every county and the range of projects, many of which are also still underway. The other aspect of this program that we were trying to accomplish is that we wanted the projects to be replicable. So, of course, a lot of the jurisdictions have similar issues that come up. Of course, we're seeing the parking and the development feasibility. I think they are to an extent, but of course, everybody always, their jurisdiction is just a little bit different, and that's why I think with parking, all cities and the elected officials always want to know how it applies to their jurisdiction. So there is some replicability involved, but again, a lot of times we do get specific applications to do it in their own city. The final component of our regional PDA planning program is the Transit-Oriented Affordable Housing Fund, or again, the TOA Fund. And this is a relatively new program or fund that was established just in 2011 with a $10 million initial investment from MTC. This was matched 4-to-1 with other funding sources to create a $50 million equitable TOD fund. This is a revolving loan fund, so as the loans are repaid, money will return to the program to fund additional projects. This is managed by a fund manager. It's not managed by MTC. It's managed by an entity that actually funds affordable housing projects, and it's called the Low Income Investment Fund, LIF for short, and there are a variety of loan products that are available that can help start up a new project. And to be eligible for these loan products, the project must be located in a PDA and it must be transit accessible. The funds are, there are six community development financial institutions that are partners to the fund, so projects can work through those entities to access the funding. And just, I'm not a financial analyst, but I will give you a brief snapshot on how the fund works. And I will note that there was one change from your slide, or actually two changes, and it's the bullet points. The first one and the third one were reversed on your slide. I apologize for that. So just giving you a brief snapshot on how the fund works, the first slice there, number one, is the money, the public sector money that has come from MTC, and this is kind of the initial capital that's required to start the funding equation. Next, that's followed by the additional funding that came in from other foundations, Ford, San Francisco Foundation, Living Cities. And then finally, that's matched by added to that is the sort of the big guns of Morgan Stanley and Citi, and they provide that final layer to get the projects going. And this is the view that you would have for each of the loans that are part of the TOA fund that receive funding. And you certainly have a lot of information in your packet. This is a summary of what the fund has done so far. Just in the short time it's been in operation, 5 loans have closed, totaling over $20 million, 645 units, most of which, the majority of those, are affordable. There are 4 more loans that are expected to close in the very near future in the next few months, and there are 13 additional projects in the pipeline. And I do have a summary. These are the projects that have closed. You can see they're right now located mainly in the 3 big cities in the region, their PDA, their amount. And you can see there's a significant number of affordable units attached to the projects, the transit they're near, and if there's any other additional feature worth noting. In your packet, there is a additional detail. It shows the projects that are included in the pipeline as well as a project loan profile for each of the 5 projects that have closed. So that summarizes the 3 components that are currently included in the regional PDA planning program. And so now I wanted to shift my presentation to talk about the action that occurred in November, that the commission, the decision that the commission made to redirect 20 of the 40 million of the PDA planning program to the congestion management agencies at the, in the counties. The exception is in San Francisco, where the funding would go directly to the San Francisco Planning Department. And so has everyone, I don't know if you've received presentations on the One Bay Area Grant Program. Okay, good. I was assuming that you had. So,
Therese, not only have we received presentations, but we've actually given input.
Well, great. Terrific. So so through the OBAG program, that's where this $40 million was sitting for the regional program. So, again, using the OBAG formula, $20 million was being redirected to the CMAs. And there is one of the attachments in your packet gives the distribution to each of the CMAs or each of the counties. So you can see how much is going to each one. Because at the regional level, the money was going directly to the jurisdictions, I mean, there was some administrative cost here, but we really wanted to make sure that the funding was going to continue to go to the local jurisdictions within the counties. So the CMAs are restricted to a 5% amount for their administration of the program. And since you're familiar with OBAG, you, I'm sure, remember that there is a PDA investment and growth strategy that the CMAs are responsible for creating for the capital funds that they are being awarded through the OBAG program. And so we are also suggesting or requiring that they align the planning funds with that investment and growth strategy as well, so that they're really looking at the big picture of planning as well as implementation of their PDAs in their counties. And then finally, because the regional agencies have invested in and spent a lot of time developing the PDA planning program, if the local jurisdictions are going to embark on a full-scale planning or neighborhood planning effort, that they need to follow the regional guidelines, those planning elements that I referred to in my earlier slide. So that's essentially the summary of the decision that happened. So the next step, as I mentioned in my introduction, was that there's still the $20 million at the regional level, and there has not been a decision made right now as to how that money will be how that money will be spent. So there were three options presented to the commission just as information in advance of a decision, and those three options really are different combinations of how the funding could be spent. As you'll see in all three, $2 million will be awarded to or will be assigned to ABAG for their operations, and then the other three. The second two here, one would maybe be allocated all to the regional planning, whatever we have defined that as. And what I might say here is that perhaps we would maybe focus the regional planning money on jurisdictions that are high-impact areas that are taking on significant amount of growth in Plan Bay Area. So that is one thought that would be that's where the regional planning money would be spent. Another option would be to put the remaining $18 million directly into the TOA fund. And then, of course, a third option would be some combination of that. And one thing that I hadn't mentioned about the TOA fund is that since we're talking about transportation dollars here, they're not directly eligible to be spent on housing. So a funding exchange would need to happen in order to spend money on the TOA fund. That's what's happened in the past, and that's what would have to happen going forward with any distribution that's made, any decision about the distribution.
Do you mind just restating that again?
Sure. The money that we're talking about here is federal transportation money, and outright that money can't be spent to build housing. That's not an eligible expense. It needs to be spent on a transportation-related activity or some nexus to transportation. So in order to invest in the TOA fund, MTC facilitated a funding exchange with local money, and so that the local money could be spent on the TOA fund and the transportation money could be spent in the jurisdiction. Is that sufficient? Okay. So this is where we are right now. Staff is attending the joint MTC Planning and ABAG Administration Committee actually on Friday to give them a similar presentation on the regional program as it is now. And then we'll return to that committee in February to for them to decide on how the distribution of the funding for the regional program. That's what that decision will be asked. So from here, we would like to get your input on how you know, your thoughts on how the regional funding, how we might spend the regional dollars.
All right, so in a nutshell, what they're asking us to do is 20 of the $40 million has already been allocated to the CMAs. That's not the discussion. But the remainder of the $20 million, we have three options. An option is to break out, in each option, the allocation of $2 million to ABAG would occur in option A, B, or C. At least that's the staff recommendation. For us to decide, do we want the remainder of the $18 million all to go to TOA? Do we want the remainder of the $18 million to go to the regional PDAs for planning and implementation purposes? Or do we want to see some kind of a breakdown? And the staff is obviously suggesting $10 million and $8 million, respectively. But it's not beyond this committee to renegotiate numbers either. But that's really the crux of the issue that we have, and it's really the biggest item on our agenda today, so that staff can take our recommendations, fold them into the mix, and then present it at the next MTC meeting in February. So I see Rich's hand is up, and I'm sure there's going to be a number of others, so I'm going to have Rich, Carlos, Kathleen, and Tina. Okay. So, all right, we got Rich and Rich. So how about Richard Burnett? And I'm going to keep a list, unlike I usually do, but I do have a pen today just because I knew this was going to be an odd item. So go, Richard.
Okay, well, just for clarification, since you said this is being a transportation dollars, clarification, would something like the Complete Streets programs or projects that would qualify under Complete Streets, that would be something that would qualify under this kind of program or funding?
The answer is yes, but I guess what I would say is that the Complete Streets, that's more of a capital type of funding, and that is what's already in OBAG. I think the idea here is that this would be planning money.
Okay, but the planning money wouldn't necessarily, you know, if the a city that has a PDA area, you know, for example, where I live in Vallejo, the PDA area is in downtown Vallejo, and you know, it has transit, it has affordable housing and things, but there's also, you know, the potential for, you know, streets things that would fall under Complete Streets that would need to be done. And there's been citizen initiative lately from the citizens to the city about, you know, certain areas within that PDA that would need improvements. So I was just wondering, just for clarification, if the planning implementation purposes, you know, they could use that to plan along those lines that would go towards a complete street.
Yes, certainly planning for complete streets would be an eligible expense.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, get a clarification on that, you know, in terms of, you know, the not just PDA, not just for Vallejo, but for, you know, Solana County as well.
I'll keep it simple. The third one, more for housing. Obviously, we lost the 20% for redevelopment, and there are actually sites available right now that are owned or managed by cities or nonprofit developers that they just need cash to build. And it's by transit, and that's how we get people in the seats.
Great, thank you. Okay, Carlos, and then Kathleen.
I had a couple of clarification questions and then a comment. My first clarification question is, what I really liked is the on the TOA money, you gave a breakdown of, at least as of today, the kind of the pipeline of potential uses of the money. Is there anything similar for the regional PDA planning? Do you get a sense of what the need is beyond what's already been funded?
Yes. in the planning memo, maybe it's in here, but there are approximately 99 potential PDAs, and there, I believe, are about 76 planned PDAs. And so there is a significant amount of planning to be completed in potential PDAs. And even if a PDA is planned, it could be an older plan that needs to be updated. So, even just on the face of the potential plan, that's at least one indicator of how much is left to be planned, not even counting what might need to be updated.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And then I guess I was also wondering, because I think option two was described as an opportunity to fund those jurisdictions that are taking on a substantial portion of the housing and job growth. Can the same thing be achieved with, say, option one?
Sure. The same focus could be on, high impact project areas.
Okay. So then that kind of leads me to my comment then in that, I feel it's like, choosing your favorite child. But, I would definitely want to have some money for TOA because, as Rich said, the situation we have now in terms of affordable housing is that, in general in real estate, is you're having a lot of investors out there that have quick cash. And I think that what's been useful about the TOA money is that it's blended in with conventional loans, so it actually brings interest rates down. And I think that's really important for being able to produce affordable housing and being able to acquire properties. So if I would definitely not go for option two, which says no money for TOA, and I'm thinking maybe it's a blended approach. If it can be, if the 10 million PDA planning money can also be directed towards those jurisdictions that are taking a higher impact.
Thank you, Carlos. Kathleen?
I would just echo what Carlos and Rich said in terms of not being in support of leaving TOA out altogether. With the considerations about the lack of redevelopment, I know there are projects ready to go, but is it really, if we went with the whole 18 to TOA, is it going to be feasible to actually get that pushed out in the OBAG window?
That is a good question in the window. It looks like there's plenty of projects in the pipeline that the money could be applied for. I think I would have to ask the fund manager whether that could be accomplished in the OBAG window.
Maybe I could add to that as well. Ann Flemmer with MTC staff. We did meet with the advisory committee yesterday on TOA, and this issue of how much we invest into the part of the development process that the TOA fund is investing in now relative to the ability of local jurisdictions to actually pick up and go. And it was made very clear that what needs to happen in the next year or two is a legislative effort to find monies to backfill what was lost in redevelopment or some other version of that, because it's a very important part of the stacking of the funding. The private capital seems to be there, as has been pointed out already. It's really just that next little piece that we think is really important to follow through on. So there will be a pipeline for a significant amount of TOA, but the big question will be how soon we can get the other funding set up.
You're welcome. Okay, then I have Tina, Federico, Egon, Randy, and then Alan. So, Tina?
So I think what I'm hearing is that there is a huge demand for the TOA funds. That's not an issue. I was noticing that it's all in the big cities, but that just happens to be who applied for the grants at this time. And then what happens to the funds if we decided to allocate go with the number three option? What would happen to the funds if you're not able to exchange them with the local? And I have one more question after that.
Go ahead. So what would happen to the funds if we weren't able to exchange them? That's a good question. Go ahead, Anne.
one of the constraints we have is how much clean money we can put in the time frame of OBAG, which is the four-year period. So I think one answer would be that you would take the balance and put it continue to do the planning effort. PDA. So if TOA were a high priority, the issue might be that the constraint is how much clean money we can produce in that time period.
So the flexibility will still be there?
Yeah.
Okay, and then my last question was, I noticed that did you not need any additional funding for the technical assistance program?
I did not spell out how much would be going to either the larger scale PDA planning or technical assistance, but I think the idea is that that would also be included.
Okay, thanks. Federico?
For everybody, most of the concerns I had have already been expressed by council members. I did, however, want to just make one comment on one part of the earlier slide presentation as it pertained to development along the in San Leandro at the BART station on San Leandro Boulevard. I spent a good deal of time in that area riding BART and public transit, and I would say our presenter is understating what has been accomplished, at least from my perspective, relative to accessibility. I am just thrilled with what has been done in San Leandro, on San Leandro Boulevard Way and surrounding area as it pertains to making the BART station and the bus line accessible to persons with disabilities. The wide walkways, the crossing areas, the particularly the audible lighting system is just, in my view, a model of what I've seen far better than most anything I've seen in the greater Bay Area. I just think it's absolutely fantastic and wish it would be emulated in other areas as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we have Aegon, then Randy, Alan, and then Sandy.
Great. Thank you, Therese, for a really clear presentation, a number of things. I think kind of building on what Carlos says, it's like kind of choosing between two children, but it's also, I think, it's reflective of the fact that these are both goods and these are both things that we want to do more of. And in a sense, we're in this position because a lot of the money was taken and put to the county level. I think it's actually important for the advisory council to make a strong statement of the value of doing things at a regional scale. That we've been spending however long we've been on the Policy Advisory Council talking about the SCS, talking about the RTP, talking about trying as a Bay Area to do one Bay Area, to do Plan Bay Area, to make some decisions that involve trade-offs. And in a sense, when you do things at a regional scale, there's a little bit of a trade-off you have to do. Now, that happens at a local level, but it's happening within a smaller geography. So from my perspective, this is an opportunity for us here to make a statement about the value of regional planning. Certainly, everything that's been said about affordable housing remains perfectly true, and there's an unending need for that. And we could spend $300 million, $600 million, $900 million. So I'm leaning kind of where Carlos was, that it's important that we use this opportunity to make a statement that regional planning is important. It is appropriate for MTC to prioritize places of high need, invest the money, see good plans, because the CMAs may or may not do that. Right, MTC can set whatever criteria they want, but those decisions are going to be made locally. That said, there should be some funding still remaining within TOA, and so from my perspective, we should kind of include both of those, which would be within option one.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you. I'm always for more affordable housing. I mean, that's just a given, and I think from an equity perspective and an access perspective, the closer and the more housing that we can build on an affordable scale near and adjacent to transit is better. But the projects that's on this list, I'm not familiar with the TOA fund, so maybe you can enlighten me as to what is there a nexus for accessibility? Is there a nexus for adjacency to transit? Is there a nexus for adjacency to shopping? And the reason I'm asking is because We have something here called the Lee Avenue Senior Apartments, which lists as notable features free transit passes, which is great. But it lists as transit, VTA, light rail, Dearden Station. I live a block from Lee Avenue at its closest juncture to, or its closest point to light rail, and it's at best a third of a mile away. So, and there's no property under development anywhere near that. So I would have to assume that it's farther down Lee Avenue, and even where Lee Avenue terminates, it's nowhere near the Dearden Station, which makes it even farther away from light rail or transit. So I'm wondering, when we do these projects, and then when you look at the number of units that come out of the money that you're doing, how does this all get weighed when this goes out? Because if I can get 172 units for $4 million, but for $2.9 million, I'm getting 64 units. If those 64 units are on a light rail line, that's kind of awesome. If they're a half a mile away from a light rail line and they're not adjacent to any shopping or any other amenities, that's not so good. So if you can just familiarize me a little bit more with that.
Maybe I can take a start at it, and Ken Kirky will join in. If you go to the profiles that are in your packet, it may be one way to take a look at this issue. In that profile are all the different criteria that are being used to gauge priorities from all the pipeline projects. Readiness to go is one, but there are a lot of other factors. So if you turn, I'm really sorry there aren't page numbers here, but if you turn to the Lee Avenue, it's attachment 5G, a couple pages in. You have everything there from a project description to neighborhood amenities, accessibility to transit. I mean, first and foremost, every project has to be within a PDA, and every project has to be very close to transit. It also has to have a real nexus to the objectives of the PDA planning. So, to answer your question, Randy, there is a lot of detail that does go through, and we can certainly provide you that information. There is a loan committee, credit committee, that goes through each and every application against a set of criteria that were adopted by all of the advisors to the fund. And what we have in each loan are the covenants that are required that the developer, whoever the applicant is, meet all of the criteria that are laid out here. So that I just wanted to let you know that that is happening, and we can certainly have maybe a better presentation for you on that detail in the future.
That would be great, because what I see here and what I know, I live there. So I know for a fact that this doesn't exist in any planning stage adjacent to transit. I mean, there is a bus that runs down Lee Avenue, mm-hmm. but there's no light rail, there's no accessibility, and I'm hard-pressed to figure out where any retail would be that's accessible to the seniors, because I work with seniors daily, and I don't want to see my seniors stranded in the middle of a long stretch of road. So even if on these projects, I know that they come attached with planning numbers that are affiliated with whatever that jurisdiction's permit process is. So, for instance, in San Jose, this would be a planned development. It would say, I could at least, if I see these before we get to this thing, go through and find that particular project, at least in my city, online, and look at it or have a chat with the planner so that I wouldn't kind of be going, what the heck is this? Because as much as I want to see projects like this come through, I do have to question the actual data. And if the one that I'm familiar with and my jurisdiction raises these kinds of questions, then it ultimately raises questions for me for all of these. So I want to make sure that we're all playing by the same rules. Thanks.
Thank you, Randy. I have Alan, then Sandy, then Jim.
Maybe I wasn't here when this was decided. The $20 million that goes into San Francisco, or is block granted to San Francisco. Can you tell me more about that and what the basis is?
Commissioner Weiner specifically called that out when the commission was making the decision, and it's not $20 million to San Francisco. That's the total, and their portion is based on the OBEG formula, which is
because it
2.3
says it, there's an asterisk that says to San Francisco Planning Department in San Francisco County.
Right, it versus going to the Congestion Management Agency. So one of our commissioners specifically asked that to be included in the decision.
Okay, so but that was do we have any is there any definition of how that money gets spent or where it goes? Is the MT do we have any control over that, or are there any parameters set?
I think it depends on who the we is, Alan.
If I,
that 20
I'm,
million,
so I'm not talking about we us. I'm talking about
I can clarify
the commission.
That. I can clarify that for you. So the $20 million, as Therese described, that was moved to the CMAs is divided based upon the OBAG formula across the nine counties. San Francisco is, of course, a city and a county. And therefore has a somewhat different civic structure than the other counties do, having multiple jurisdictions. One of the commissioners, a representative from San Francisco, motioned and the commission approved that the funding for San Francisco go directly to the planning department. The funds are to support planning and PDAs. There are a number of requirements that go forward with the funds for the congestion management agencies or the city of San Francisco. In addition to the fact that they have to support planning in a PDA, they also need to be a part of the PDA growth strategy that Therese mentioned. So they have to comport with where the capital infrastructure funding is going to go out of OBAG. And it's expected that most of the funding will be used in a similar fashion for how it's been used at the regional level for neighborhood level planning grants that would be administered by a CMA, or in the case of San Francisco, would be conducted by the city's planning department.
Okay, so this asterisk doesn't mean it's all going there. It's going to the...
No, not at all.
Okay, that was confusing for me. The other thing I wanted to know is, as we're transferring the funds into TOA, has there been a consideration of using those funds to leverage TIFIA funds from the federal government to get additional funding for infrastructure build out for these projects?
There is not, to my knowledge, TOD Affordable Housing Program was kicked off a couple of years ago, and it was actually driven by some national foundations, particularly Living Cities and the Ford Foundation on the East Coast. They actually looked around the country and, lo and behold, looked at the Bay Area and said, this is a region that seems to be doing some good planning work and has a good structure around transit, and they wanted to create a model for affordable housing being built near transit. After quite a bit of work with the Great Communities Collaborative here in the Bay Area, this program was conceived. And the commission voted to shift $10 million from what was then the Transportation for Livable Communities program, the TLC program, as Therese mentioned, for seed funding for this program. Living Cities and the other partners were given a pretty short period of time, a year, to leverage that money 2-to-1. It was actually leveraged 3-to-1. That created this revolving loan fund. What Ann mentioned earlier, I think, is really, really important in this conversation, and that is the folks working on TOA recognize that it's a good program, it's a good effort, it's off to a good start, but it's only one part of what needs to happen in terms of affordable housing. We've taken a major hit with the loss of redevelopment, the lack of affordable housing and infrastructure financing generally. And it's likely that that's something that MTC and ABAG, working with local jurisdictions, CMAs, and other partners, are going to have to move forward on if we want to implement Plan Bay Area. So as great as TOA is, it won't solve the affordable housing problem. It's a part of the solution, but it's definitely not the solution.
Okay.
And the federal piece is potentially one of the tools that might be worth looking at. And that's something I think we'll be considering down the road.
No, in the last Transportation Act, there was specific money allocated from TIFIA to be leveraged for infrastructure for housing, and low-income housing got a very high mark for that, and that's why I'm questioning and asking if they're using those funds that way. I would have to agree with option one, really, because it does allow regional planning and pushes us towards more regional planning.
I have Sandy, Jim, Carlos, and then Rich Hedges.
I wanted to, I was curious as to the way that the funding was divided up in option one, with $10 million going to the regional planning and $8 million going to TOA. I wanted to know what the thinking was behind that.
I think part of that split was really looking at how much exchange funding would be available, and so I think that was in the range of what would be available over the OBEG period. So that's really how that split came about.
And so I wanted to be sure I understood what Anne had said earlier, that another option would have been if all the money is put into TOA, that remaining funds still be able to go to the regional planning. Was that correct?
Right. I think the idea is that if we were to do option number three, where we put $18 million into TOA, or we decided to do that, and then say only $10 million was able to be exchanged, then what would happen to that $8 million? And I think Anne's response was, well, then we could put that into the regional PDA planning aspect and then, you know, backfill that later when more exchange funding was available.
Okay, that's the option I support.
All right. I have Jim Carlos and then Rich Hedges.
Hi, this is Jim. I appreciate having an opportunity to listen to all of these comments, and I just wanted to briefly, a couple things. Number one, Federico, when he was talking about the people with disabilities having such good access here in the East Bay, that rings with very well with me as well. The whole issue of accessibility is really important, whether we're talking about having accessibility to BART or to any other transit system or to your homes, businesses, computers, whatever it is, the accessibility is so critical. And secondly, I want to weigh in on option one. I think that's what I would support. I like to see a balance whenever possible, although I lean toward option three at the beginning because I like the funds going to TOA. I think there needs to be a balance between all three, so that's what I would say.
Thank you, Jim. Carlos?
Thank you. I was originally going to refrain from this, the comments I was going to make, but I'll blame it on Randy that she kind of opened up the conversation. And it's for disclosure, too, actually, my organization is a recipient of TOA. And so from firsthand knowledge, first of all, I wanted to acknowledge and say I think that it's wonderful that MTC has gone to having kind of a loan administrator that's actually within the industry, and it helps a lot to have that so that MTC isn't trying to figure out how to do affordable housing. And at the same time, based on Randy's comments and based on our experience, and I think that not knowing this particular Lee Avenue project very well, but knowing that because you're going to different lending entities, they're all going to have slightly different underwriting procedures. It seems like I know they go to loan committee and then they kind of try and standardize it there, and so it seems like, you know, I just glanced over the summary of Lee Avenue, and you know, I'm sure a lot of thinking went into it, but maybe it wasn't the same thinking that went into another project. And so I was trying to figure out a way at this point just to make that comment so that you're aware, in terms, I think, at MTC being the first seed money, being kind of the germination of this fund, should have some say in how the money is being deployed. And I'm not going to say, you know, how I think it should be done, but rather thinking about the One Bay Area and also thinking about really locating a housing near transit, where it'll be transit-oriented development as opposed to like transit-adjacent development. You know, it's really trying to get the best use of the money, but at the same time not micromanaging the underwriters who do this day in and day out. So it's a fine line, but maybe there's some high level guidelines that MTC should look at, kind of evaluate based on this first round of recipients, and see you know, which ones kind of met MTC's original goals and or thoughts, and see if there's something that you know that bubbles up and says, yeah, you know what, can we put a little bit more emphasis on these in the next round?
Thank you, Carlos. Rich Hedges.
Question about the TOA funding for housing. Just give you a supposition, and you can just give me a yes or no, hopefully. Suppose you have an at-market developer that has 15 or 20% or more below-market rate housing but is struggling to get funding. Is there any provision that some sort of credits from TOA can be given to those developers who are willing to do the right thing if they're right by transit?
My understanding is that there's a target provision for TOA that 75% of the funding goes to pure affordable units. I think in part, given the loss of redevelopment and also the way that even mixed income developments have not penciled out in certain locations around the region, especially as you get away from the most high-value, strong market locations, they're according to the folks working on the fund, there's a bit more interest on the part of mixed income developers to use some of the funding for affordable housing. But I don't think they're at the percentages you're talking about. I think they need to have a substantial percentage of very low and low income. I would say at least 50-50 to keep the overall fund target where it needs to be.
Aegon?
I just had a quick follow-up question in light of Sandy's comment about option three. Just a clarifying point, were that to be the recommendation, wouldn't the implication be that the regional planning money wouldn't be available for several like a year and a half or 2 years? And so, to kind of editorialize on that, I think that, yes, indeed, that could result in money for regional planning, but we wouldn't have it now. And given that we're in the phase of very soon going to be adopting an SCS-RTP, we want to have that money out to do the planning now so that it's available to kind of set up for the development, particularly if, real estate cycles come and go. So, again, reiterating my support for option one, but I just wanted to clarify the timing. And I don't know if you have a sense of how many months or years would be.
Yeah. I think we're our own worst enemy in setting up these kind of dichotomies among the three. One of the constraints we will report to the Commission in February, and we'll certainly get to you, is what is going to be our constraint in terms of clean money. And all we're saying is that if we can't get to the 18, if we were to follow option three, that the fallback then would be whatever is remaining would be to the planning fund. So that would happen as part of the programming immediately. If you follow me, it wouldn't be a sequential piece.
So you would know immediately whether or not you would have.
Yeah. But we will need to make that estimate because we will need to know how much to invest in TOA to be able to start leveraging.
Because you just put it in there, whether or not the funding goes out of TOA to actually be used in the time frame. It's just about the money.
Yeah,
the
well, we'll exchange. Have to clarify all of that as we recommend a programming of the regional fund.
Okay, I understand.
Kathleen?
Not to start to play with your numbers here at all, but it seemed like under option one, it's maybe not as it seems like it's a very realistic assessment of what you think could go out. But if we're comfortable having that ambitious option under number three, couldn't we potentially reverse the 10 and 8 allocation in option one and do 10 to TOA and 8? I mean, I know it's just quibbling over a fairly relatively small amount of money, but it's not small when it comes to every little dollar matters when it comes to affordable housing.
Tina?
Okay, so you've opened up, enlightened Rich. Thank you for the clarification because I wasn't thinking about the project had to be entirely or, 50% affordable housing. I was thinking that it would be a mixed use that some of the so. That changes my thought about it, and I was wondering, it's a revolving fund that exists. So do you need this money in order to get additional funders to contribute to this revolving fund that's going to be ongoing?
The current revolving fund is $50 million with the first investment of $10 million. What we've been determining is if an additional 10, say, were to go in, the expectation is it could be leveraged 3-1 in the same manner. So the whole fund would start growing. I think the issue, though, for the funders to the original fund is that they closed the fund at $50 million so that it could become a revolving fund. Mm-hmm. And what was referred to in terms of 75% affordable housing, is at the end of the day, after all $50 million is allocated, that we will have hit that target of 75%. So there will be, from time to time, a project that maybe tips one way or the other, but at the end of the entire fund, which is a 10-year period, we will have hit the 75%.
So a project that had 20% affordable housing would or wouldn't be eligible for this to apply for it?
Well, there are other provisions, and we really could spend more time, and I will definitely do so, to give you the details on what the business plan is for this. But there are expectations, too, for mixed use, for commercial development, for community development, other ways the monies could be spent.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Can you give me a little bit of an idea? It sounds to me like the committee's leaning towards option one over the other two. And so, Therese, can you give me an idea of what the time frame you think it would be for monies to be actually allocated and then spent if the commission goes in terms of our point of view also for both the PDA and the TOA funding?
It's my understanding that once the decision is made, the funding is really available, and we could go about programming and spending the money.
And is it your feeling, I suppose, that the PDA, the CMAs around the region are ready to spend, kind of hook into that PDA money?
I think that the CMAs are thinking about how they're going to proceed with that, and MTC and ABAG have been working with them and sharing all of the materials that we have so far, and we're planning on having a workshop with them in the next several weeks or so to, you know, kind of get that ball rolling. So that planning should be underway, you know, as soon as they can establish their own programs.
Great, thank you. And the reason why I raise that is because one of the things that I think you hear from our committee members here is that we all do believe in regional planning, and that if we don't really spend some money and some time and some effort towards a regional planning operation, that our individual areas will plan just in their jurisdiction without looking at the greater picture. What I would want in a motion is something that really explicitly says whatever the numbers are that either we decide or the commission decides, that those are the numbers. And if there's a reason for either TOA or the Regional PDA Planning Implementation Fund to need more than the 10 or 8 or whatever the specific numbers are, that both the commission and this committee weighs in on that decision prior to the decision being made. So let's say we $10 million is snapped up over the next 2 years, and there's still a balance of $4 million in the TOA account. Still a greater need for regional planning. I would hate for some of the money from the TOA to be lent to regional planning, or vice versa, right? I don't want regional planning to loan money to TOA without the expectation that somebody other than staff would be an oversight to this. Ann?
Good. Once the amount is determined for TOA, the idea is to leverage the fund and close the fund so that the fund will have the TOA money in it and never slip back out again. So really, it's more the issue, I think, of how much you want to have to go to the planning function over that time frame as well. Because once we close the fund with our partner entities, then that's where it's going to reside. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, I have two other people on the list. I have Agon and then Rich Hedges.
Thank you. I would just like some consistency also in either the target rental rates for some of these units, because it says you go through these and it says the market analysis is not being considered. However, when they list comparable rates for units in the area, those are market rate units. So I want to make sure that we're actually tied into income levels, not tied into whatever the market rate is. I have grave concern with the way some of this is worded. And I'm assuming that our structure is different, but let's just kind of go back and close that loop. My other concern is also the approving a loan to a project that's nowhere close to breaking ground. So if, to me, a project that has a better chance of turning dirt needs to be looked at differently than a project that hasn't even begun its permit process, hasn't begun to wend its way through the labyrinth of City Hall. So it would help me to make a decision if I knew, for instance, what level these were at. Are they approved? Is there environmental clearance? What are the roadblocks? And I'm assuming that that kind of would come up in the when somebody's applying for money, that if I'm applying for money and I haven't done an environmental clearance that's absolutely needed, do I get less or more priority than somebody who's got clearance and who's started the permit process? Thanks.
Okay. I have Will and Rich and then Will.
What I'd like to do is I'm going to make a motion and we can continue to discuss it. In the spirit of listening to everyone, even though my favorite was number three, I think the one that really makes sense after listening to everybody else is number one. So I would make a motion in this way, that I would make a motion that we support number one. However, if there is a consensus among the groups to flip the 10 and 8, I would accept a friendly amendment to that. Do you understand what I'm getting at?
I totally do, but why don't you just make the motion and flip it?
Okay, it's flipped.
Okay. I mean, roll the dice. Take a stand, darn it. Take a stand for housing. Okay, so if I understand your motion correctly, you would allocate $2 million to ABAG, $8 million to the regional PDA planning implementation, and $10 million to the TOA fund.
A nice round $10 million, yeah.
All right, there you go. There's our motion. Is there a second?
I second
it. Okay, seconded by Jim, and then we have Will.
Yeah, I just want to clarify. We're all talking about regional PDAs. In San Francisco, it's a city and a county. They do all the planning at a regional level for all of the neighborhoods. There are studies done as to what type of housing can go in there, what type of improvement, what type of transit improvements. So for those that, you know, are not totally familiar with San Francisco, I just wanted to clarify that we are doing planning at a mini regional level. As a county, basically.
Thank you for that clarification. Question from Aegon on the motion.
And maybe just a clarification to Will's point. I think by region we're saying the nine county as opposed to one county. Question on the motion to staff. Is would $8 million be sufficient? If you could speak a little bit to, yes, we're $2 million is a lot or a little, but you know, we didn't ask the question from the get-go of kind of how much do you think really you need to have in order to be to successfully implement Plan Bay Area or do the work over the next period of time?
Again, I think the short answer is we don't have nearly enough money to do what needs to be done, and that's part of I think the choosing among children reference is a good one. I think in the PDA planning front, a couple of the numbers that Therese rolled out are indicative. And also in terms of getting housing built, the priority development area, you know, that's a wonky term that we use here at the regional level that actually people have begun to know about around the region. But what really matters is the neighborhoods at the local level. You know, Railroad Square in Santa Rosa, Market Octavia in San Francisco, North Diridon, these are the places where this actually happens on the ground. Those are PDAs. Those are PDA plans that were funded by MTC and co-managed by the two agencies. There are roughly 90 potential priority development areas that remain, so priority development areas that haven't been planned at the neighborhood level at all. If the PDA plans are somewhere between $500,000 to $750,000 a piece with a programmatic EIR, which really clears the deck a bit for development when developers come forward, this funding combined with what is going to the CMAs is not nearly enough. You know, I think it's important to consider that. Whatever we end up with at the regional level, we're going to have to be really thoughtful and really strategic about where it gets spent, because if it's dispersed very widely, it won't achieve very much.
And just a follow-up question, that therefore the implication would be an additional $2 million could be four additional plans.
Correct.
And just to kind of reiterate kind of to Randy's point about concerns with some of the projects funded by TOA not necessarily being near transit, one of the ways to achieve that better would be to have a good plan in place prior to doing that that upzones the area, that enables that to happen, and then the new affordable housing could go in an area that's much more closer to the existing transit.
Any other questions or comments on the motion? I'm inclined, personally, then, I'll just tell you my point of view, to go with the flipped amounts, the 8 and the 10. And while I recognize the need for regional planning, particularly to be able to drill down on some of these plans that we've seen today and that will be coming, I still think about the action that was already taken without us knowing about. But half the money, $20 million, has already been allocated to the CMAs. And so really they're not getting just $8 million. They have a total now of $28 million. And so for the balance of that $10 million to be going to TOA rather than 8, I think I'm comfortable at this point giving that trade-off. But it is definitely a trade-off, and I think we all have to recognize that and really ask our CMAs to do a little bit better work. And kind of like we're asking every governmental entity, right? Drill down a little bit more, do a little bit better, do it with less, but do it better for the future. So if there are Dolores has a question, comment, anybody else? Because if not, then we'll vote on this motion.
Okay. So money was given to the CMAs. It was given to 9 CMAs. Is that correct? And yet you have Napa who didn't apply for anything.
Dolores, I can't hear you from your mic.
I said that I was asking the. I was asking if the money had been given to the 9 CMAs, it divided, and then I noted that Napa has not applied for anything. So, how does that work?
It's correct that Napa did not apply for any PDA planning money at the regional level, but part of the formula is that each county now has a pot of money for planning. So Napa has, I believe, $750,000 for planning to be used within Napa County.
Randy?
Just because it wasn't clarified, why the $2 million to ABAG? Since there's another $2 million sitting there?
Okay. You want to go ahead, Ian? The $2 million to ABAG is to fund the staff work on behalf of PDA plans and regional planning and the PDA implementation work that ABAG staff does on an ongoing basis.
And I can just note that is a carryover from prior practice, that we have used federal funds to support the ABAG research and planning program, especially as it relates to the regional planning and around the PDAs and this type of activity. So it's not a new contribution. It's basically carrying on. This was the source of funds for that purpose.
Kathleen.
This isn't directly on the motion, but I would really encourage MTC to use its position in reviewing the PDA growth and investment strategies to actually be sure that they're strong, because they do get watered down. They get really permissive. We saw that go on with OBAG and the pushback to make it more and more flexible. You have the opportunity when you review and approve those to say, we need you to be adhering to these parking processes, to this affordability level. So I would say that's an area where you can't pull that $20 million back, but you can use the PDA growth and investment strategy to continue to push the regional perspective, and I would really support that.
Carlos?
I support the motion, and I guess this is more, I don't know if this is clarification or if it's a friendly amendment, but my first comment was that I wanted to see if it was possible if the, in this case now, $8 million, I know it's getting smaller, but if it could be prioritized to those jurisdictions that are taking on the majority of the Plan Bay Area. And I'd still like to hold, if there's some way that could be done, I know the pot's getting smaller, but if that's possible.
So are you asking that as a friendly or just from staff?
Would that have to be an amendment to the motion?
Well, That was sort of what was outlined to the commission as part of these options, that it would be directed to the high-impact project areas.
Yeah.
It's not spelled out to that level of detail, but that's the intent.
But you could also, after we vote on this motion, make another motion. So seeing no other hands on this and it being asked to call the question, all those in favor of the motion before us to send up to MTC the $2, $8, and $10 million respective contributions to ABEG, the regional planning and implementation in TOA. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? One opposition. Any abstentions? Seeing no abstentions, that motion carries. Carlos?
Okay. So now I'd like to introduce a new motion based on the council's agreement that we want to make sure that Plan Bay Area is being looked at on a regional level, and that certain jurisdictions are taking a majority of the job growth and housing future projections. I'd like to make a motion that the $8 million that went to the regional PDA implementation also have priority to those jurisdictions.
Second.
That's been moved by Carlos and seconded by Rich Hedges. Discussion or questions on that motion? So, Randy?
It doesn't preclude the jurisdictions that aren't taking the bulk from applying, though, correct? It's just, okay, thank you.
Well, I tend to support the idea. I'm concerned as to whether or not the motion, if carried, hamstrings staff relative to carrying out this process. We don't want to create more obstacles to achieving our goals here, but I'm just concerned about that and would like to hear more, particularly from staff, relative to whether or not this imposes an unnecessary obstacle.
I would say that this request is pretty much in line with what the program criteria and scoring was already. We really placed an emphasis on scoring projects that had a high impact, and that included, you know, growth and, you know, all of the planning to be conducted around the transit. So it's pretty much in line with what we already have. But yeah, so I guess I would just leave it at that. I don't think it would be too overly burdensome.
Tina, and then Rich Hedges.
Does that mean it would have to be a big project? Does that mean what you mean by high impact? You're taking on more? I want to know what your reasoning is for this.
It's reading the staff report here that or option two. It talked about how there was an investment that trying to invest more money into those jurisdictions that are taking on a majority of the housing and job growth in the projections. And so it's not a particular project. It's more the jurisdictions that are taking on. But it's also not exclusive of any other jurisdiction. It's just that it would be giving them priority.
Rich Hedges?
Yeah, I'd just point out that all we're doing is showing our affinity for what's already policy. And secondly, that we're not the deciders. This is just goes to the commission as a recommendation.
True. All right. Seeing no other discussion on that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? All right. That motion passes unanimously. Aegon?
I don't think this is a separate motion, but just wanted to maybe say if in the staff report to the commission we could relay, and if people don't agree with this idea, I can make it a motion that although the 10 and 8 were flipped in our motion and passed by this group, I think it's important for us to make a strong statement about the role of regional planning. And it hasn't really been said here, but I think what happened in November at the commission was kind of like a states' rights federalism grab that we see at the federal level. It was an attempt to kind of take money very clearly away from MTC. So to the extent that we are commenting on MTC and the way decisions are made, important policy ones, I would like at least a reference that the Policy Advisory Council strongly supports the role of MPC in doing regional planning and making the tough choices and in putting an emphasis on where growth ought to take place and putting money behind that. So I'm happy to make that in the motion, but I feel like, in a sense, that could be language around the motion that's already there.
I think that I don't think, well, I can't. I speak for myself, then. I won't speak for everybody. I think most people that got onto this committee supports regional planning, and I don't think there's any problem with someone making the report, making those comments. I think it's almost a no-brainer. If we weren't planners at heart, we wouldn't be here.
Good work. Staff, you understand where we're coming from and our emotions, and we'll carry them forward.
Yes, thank you very much for your input and your discussion.
Thank you. All right, our next item on the agenda is the staff liaison report, and then I'm going to turn this over to you.
Got it.
Thank you.
Well, I don't have anything new to add to the written report before you, which just highlights the 10-year anniversary of 511. And reminds you that the draft Transportation 2035 conformity redetermination analysis is currently out for review. So you can take a look at that. Let me know if you have any further comments or questions for me, and that's all I have.
Any questions for Pam? All right, next item, council member reports. Any reports?
I just wanted to say that some of you may have known, well, some of you I know did know, Joe Bishopberger, who served on the prior council, and I was on AC Transit Board of Directors with him, passed on January the 1st, and he had suffered with diabetes for many years, and he was 70 years old.
Just an ongoing report. I think I've mentioned this to you before. I possess both our Clipper card and a TAP card from LA, and I've been taking a survey of how they both work. And there are some features about the TAP card that I think work a little better than the Clipper, but vice versa. And to give you an example, the Clipper card is much easier to load. And when you try to load the TAP card in a machine in LA, you have to do three separate transactions. If you want to load 3-day passes, you can't just put a lump sum of money in it. Yeah, well, people are lined up saying, hurry up behind you. So, and I also had some trouble loading the TAP card online, which I didn't, the Clipper card, but there are some real advantages to the TAP card, too, and the way the fares are done. So I think in the long run, they're both going to be great, but it's just interesting to see how. By the way, the same company does both, administers both of them. It just happens to be different rules for different regions.
I was going to maybe jump in with a quick report, which is that yesterday I had the opportunity to go to the California Transportation Commission and gave a presentation with Alex Bockelman of MTC about the Transit Sustainability Project. And this is, we heard a lot about the Transit Sustainability Project in the last couple of years, and this was a kind of second version of a presentation we each separately gave at the California Transit Association conference a few months back. But in a sense, my role was to reflect some of the discussion we had here as well as in my day job, some of the comments on where I think people I've talked to, where we think the TSP should have gone further and what are some of the kind of outstanding issues that remain to be solved around regional fare policy, looking further at some consolidation, making sure that operators that are getting some of the incentive funds are actually doing a good job of controlling costs so that service is going to be there in the future. So I think that the TSP, as it goes forward, will certainly come back and here, but just so folks know, the California Transportation Commission was interested in it, and certainly some folks from LA were there and said, yes, we get that there's not a lot of transparency in transit, and so it was good that MTC put that on the table, but it's something to kind of continue pushing to make sure that the money that goes into transit is well spent and people understand how it's being used in a way that's actually resulting in more service. I just have a quick maybe question that's sort of, it's not personal report, but maybe to Anne. But here we have, we're starting 2013, there's going to be two new MTC commissioners, the first change to the governance of MTC in 42 years. I don't know if you just wanted to say when's their first meeting, and, you know, we'll meet them, but that's a, just make sure everyone knows that there's new commissioners.
The two new commissioners are mayor's appointees from the city of Oakland. Jean Kwan has appointed herself to the commission. Sam Liccardo will be the representative of the mayor of San Jose. And then he is replaced in his role previously by Joe Przinski from Santa Clara County. We have one vacancy still from San Mateo, the cities of San Mateo. Kevin Mullen has moved on to the assembly. And so we are awaiting a decision, official decision to notify the commission. So Jean Kwan and Joe Przinski have already joined the commission. Their first meeting will be this Friday, actually, is on the planning committee. But the full commission will be seated again in February, and committee assignments will be confirmed in March. So that's the status at this point. And you're right, it changes everything from quorums to you name it, things we have not changed in over 40 years.
Could I follow up on that? No, I just wanted to know, Mark Green is not from Union City anymore. Did you mention who's replacing him?
Mark Green was the representative from ABAG, and we are ABAG. Yes, and we are expecting their nomination very shortly as well.
Yeah, I think the League is going to make the determination on the 25th, and it's fairly highly contested right now. I think the two leading contendants are Alicia and Gina.
Any other council member reports? Seeing none, maybe we'll go to the last item. Any suggestions for new business? Yeah.
I'd like to take up Randy's point again about
I wondered if we'd have another opportunity to weigh in on the oversight or sort of guidelines on the TOA funds. It would be helpful for us to have more clarification so we feel comfortable, or, you know, how those funds are being distributed. Is that, I don't know if that's something that needs to go on the agenda, if we can just ask for clarification at this point at another meeting.
Maybe what we could do is just prepare a packet of information for you, because there are a lot of various documents. We can summarize them and then take questions at your next meeting without a full-blown presentation, because I'm sure you have quite a bit of other items coming up. If that would be appropriate, we could do it that way.
And maybe sort of the flip side of that is the question on the kind of regional planning implementation. I mean, I think we are at our most effective when we're looking at ongoing action and decision and policy questions that are going before the commission. And maybe to that, I would be interested in getting, as the CMAs go forward with the implementation, getting a sense of what the criteria were initially that MTC recommended and how those criteria are being implemented. I think we're not, if a CMA makes a decision that's entirely in their purview, that's not ours, but if MTC is signing off on projects that don't meet MTC's criteria, I think that is in our purview. So I don't know when the appropriate time to kind of just get a sense of that is.
The entire OBAG implementation and the CMA role in that is going to be summarized and brought back to the commission. I believe it's mid-next year, 2014, because that'll be a midpoint for OBAG. So we would bundle probably all of that up at one point in time. But if you'd wanted to get a report here earlier, as soon as we have the projects from the CMAs, we could certainly provide a report to you on that.
I know that there's going to be grant money available for electric charging stations from the Air Board, and I would like to get a report at some time about the process, public-private partnerships in doing it. So is that possible to ask somebody to come and give us a report?
And will we be seeing the draft EIR in March at this meeting or in April or just at the open houses?
A presentation to you would be in April. Yeah.
Any other new business items?
Oh.
Yes? Yeah.
Okay. Lori.
So the city of Richmond, even though I'm representing Vallejo, I'm always talking about Richmond because I work there, but I think someone mentioned the EV charging stations, and you should check with ChargePoint because I know that last year, the latter part of last year, they were giving away charging stations to each city, and the city was responsible. Those cities that received it would be responsible for placing it anywhere in the city. The city of Richmond is having a ribbon cutting on tomorrow to in celebration of the installation of 3 EV stations. And we're going to be mapping out throughout the city where all EV stations are located, and we will continue to seek more. So as I come to these meetings, I'll let you know if I have any resourceful information on any companies that's giving these stations away so that you can kind of contact your local officials and let them know.
Just out of curiosity, not for an agenda item, but is there a mapping system that we could tie into 511 somehow for EV stations? Because I know we're, like a lot of mine are downtown, and I know that I can't get through a Walgreens parking lot without stumbling across one, but it came up because my daughter was driving up here, and it was like, I have no idea where to send you other than to the scary Walgreens where the lady got killed. So,
yeah. Is that something that's being incorporated into the
511? I can check on that specific question for 511, definitely. As far as the overall EV strategy, we could probably ask the Air District staff to come as the lead for the Bay Area on that issue and provide some information.
So maybe before we lose additional people, we're successfully almost a half hour early. I think if there's not any additional items, we can adjourn until next month. Thank you.